Reading from over the book of St. Luke, chapter 9. If you've got your Bibles, you can read with me. Jesus said in chapter 9, reading in the 22nd verse, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be slain and be raised the third day. And he said unto them, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you of a truth, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God." Jesus said again in the 40th verse, "And I besought thy disciples to cast him out, and they could not," the man said to Jesus. And Jesus answering said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and suffer you? Bring thy son hither." And as he was yet coming, the devil threw him down and tear him, and Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit and healed the child and delivered him again to his father. And they were all amazed at the mighty power of God. But while they wondered everyone at all things which Jesus did, he said unto his disciples, "Let these sayings sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the hands of men." But they understood not this saying, and it was hid from them that they perceived it not, and they feared to ask him of that saying. Then there arose a reasoning among them which of them should be greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of the heart, took a child and set him by him, and said unto them, "Whosoever shall receive this child in my name receiveth me, and whosoever shall receive me receiveth him that sent me, for he that is the least among you all the same shall be great." All right. Now, he said here, faithless generation. I want you to notice that. Jesus in the 41st verse used the terms faithless generation. But he did not stop with the terms faithless generation. He said faithless and perverse generation. All perverse and faithless generation. So then there was a reason why the generation was faithless. And that was because they were perverted. They were perverted as to the real cause of God and going the right way with the Lord and doing the things that please God. They did not do that. They went their own way. They had so changed things from the days of Moses that they did not even recognize the Messiah that sent Moses to deliver them. They did not even recognize him when he came. And Jesus said, "You are perverted." He said, "You are a perverse generation. You don't even recognize God as he walks in human form among you. So you are perverted," he said. If they had not been perverted, they would have not been faithless. Because when Jesus resurrected from the dead, as he walked on the way to Emmaus with those, the Bible said he spoke to them and their hearts burned like fire within them. And Jesus asked them questions. And as he asked them questions, you know, they reasoned one with another. And Jesus said unto them, "Fools and slow of heart to believe." That is faithless people. Fools and slow of heart to believe all of those things that the prophets have said of the coming of the Messiah. See, and here he said perverse, faithless generations. You're perverted. You don't even know that it's the hour of the Messiah. It's the time of the coming of the great deliverer that God has sent, whom Moses was only symbolic of. You know, God started a great journey down from Canaan all the way through Egypt, through the wilderness, back around to Canaan. And he did this for one purpose, and that purpose was to give a symbol, just a type. He just chose people and put them through all of that, just to give a type of the coming Messiah, that someday the spiritual one would come, and when he come, he would take hold of men's spirit to indoctrinate them and to bring them into the right place, to where he, as the great eternal spirit, would take a hold of their spirit and lead them out of this Egyptian bondage of self-will and of gullible desire as to their human being. to lead them out of their old gullible desire of the human being, that the great spirit would come inside and take them away from that old bastard image and lead them out of that by killing that image at Calvary through faith in what God had done, and then take them right on over the carnal mind into the mind of Christ, into the great world of faith and spirit. Jesus was made spirit. The beginning of the creation of God, I tell you so often, was not Adam, but the beginning of the creation of God was the Lord Jesus. It was in the Lord Jesus that God started his creation. It was in the Lord Jesus that God redeemed that which was lost as a world, that which was lost as a man, that which was lost as life and spirit. He redeemed it all back through Jesus. So that began the other world. There the other world begun, and there it was from that time on that the creation of God is of the world, of the human being, or whatever it might be, then it was started there. He was the beginning of the creation of God. Now, somebody would say, well, Brother Pike, you mean that's the first time it got started? No, that was the first time it was made manifest. It was started long before Adam was ever created. For the Bible, Jesus speaking, the Bible says, and restore unto me, Father, the joys I had with thee before the world ever was, before the foundation of the world. So Jesus, as the conception in God's mind before the world ever was, he was the beginning. He was the beginning and he'll be the end. He was the preeminence in the beginning. And the Bible said he should have preeminence in all things. For all things was made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That is to say, the great eternal spirit, when it expressed itself through the Word. And the Word was the Son of God. And the Word was made flesh. And the Word dwelt among us. And the Bible said he created all things by the Word and upholds all things by the Word. And the Bible said he sent his Word and healed them, and he sent his Word and cast out the unclean spirits. And this is why Jesus is saying, faithless and perverse generation. Because he's saying, I am the Word. I'm in your midst. I've spoken, and you don't believe what I have said. And because you don't believe what I said, he said unto the Jews on one occasion, your houses are left unto you desolate until ye say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That is, when I return, you'll receive me on the next round. All right, so then we see that people are faithless. Now, this is what I tried to speak to you about a little bit this morning when I reminded you of the terrors of God. See, I'm trying again tonight to express to you faith, because I couldn't very well tie those things together too well this morning, because it is so much to put into one little message. So then when we speak to you of faith, I was trying to tell you this morning, or indoctrinate you with the thought, that as long as you are listening to the contrary voice of all of these foreign sounds and strange voices, you will never be a child of God. And you will never prosper in God. And you'll never have faith in God, because all of those things are perverted. That's a perverted mind. That's an evil mind. Now let's see it like this. Here's Adam in the garden. The expulsion comes and Adam is put out. Now, that means the beginning of the generation of Cain, even the tare. Remember, I gave you the parable. The Bible said the man went and sowed seeds in his field. After he'd sown the seeds and the blade began to spring up, the men that worked for him, the servants, began to examine the field, and they found that there was tares in the field. And they went to the master and they said, Master, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? And he said, I did. They said, from whence then cometh the tares? And he said, an enemy has done this. While I slept, the enemy has done this. Oh, that is to say, the sleep of God is that is to the foreign, as to God having to withdraw from you while you go into this night of sleep. If you be drunken as to the cares of life, drunken all of the cares of life, then are you drunken in the night. And so then he said, and while I slept, someone has come and they've done this. So they said, well, then shall we root up the tares? He said, no. He said, if you do that, then you would get the wheat. He said, leave them alone and let them grow together. And in the time of harvest, I'll send forth my reapers and they'll take the blade and they'll cut the tares down and they'll cut the wheat down together. And they'll bind in bundles the tares. And then they will gather the wheat into the garners. And I say to you, as in our day, here we are in the Laodicean age in the last days. And Jesus said, and those reapers was the angels that would come in the end of the world. And so then we know that the harvest is near. We know that the angels are getting ready to cut everything down. We know that. See, so we know that the terror of God is near. But we also know that when we see all of these different societies of life, as to clubs and whatever it might be, as to the Masons of the world, as to the different ones that I spoke of this morning, as to the Ku Klux, and as to the Woodsmen of the world, and as to women's societies and all kind of clubs. Everywhere they've got all kind of clubs. We know that what God is doing is binding the tares into bundles. See, those people are tares, and they've got their mind on the world, and that's their ritualistics and way of life. And they esteem one another in the flesh, knowing one another after scholarship and after money and prestige and position of life. The Bible said, from all these things, turn away. See, and not to know any man after the flesh, but know him after the Spirit. See if he's born again. See what kind of spirit he's got. And know him according to the Spirit. If he hasn't got the right spirit, get away from him. It doesn't matter what kind of monetary value he has, get away from him. No matter what kind of polished scholar he is, get away from him. If he hasn't got the Spirit of God, don't you mess with him. Because he is the tool of the devil. He is the instrument of the devil. He is filled with the devil, and he is of a carnal mind. And the will of the devil he will do. And all of his love will be for the flesh and for the things of the world, because the Bible said Satan savors the things that be of the flesh. Get away from him. See, find a spiritual man, a man that loves God, a man that's been born again, one that's walking in the Spirit, that's not seeking to fulfill the desires and the lust of the flesh. As to our parable, it was said that he'd bind the tares into bundles. After that, he'd gather the wheat into the garners. Now, he said, the enemy has sown these tares. I did not sow these tares. Folks, let me tell you again, as I have before, God did not sow the tares. He did not sow the tares. He's not the one that planted the tares. The Lord God of heaven has never planted one tare. Now, wouldn't he have some kind of a kingdom? If he goes out here and tell me what man would do this, and surely God's got more reasoning than man. What man would go out here and he'd plow a field, he'd work, he'd clear it out, get everything out of the briars, everything, and then he'd get ready for planting, and then he'd put his seed over here as to the wheat and his seed over here as to the tares, and he'd take a handful of wheat and he'd broadcast it, as they say, and sow it like I've done when I was a boy, and then he'd get him a handful of tares and he'd just broadcast them and sow them, and he'd just keep sowing wheat and tares and wheat and tares. Now, wouldn't he be some kind of a farmer? Wouldn't a man be some kind of a fool? Tell me now. Come on, folks. I said, wouldn't he be some kind of a fool? Would you call God a fool? The Bible said the fool is the one that said in his heart there's no God. See, God didn't broadcast wheat and God didn't broadcast tares together. He said the enemy hath done this. When God put down the wheat, he made Adam and Eve perfect. He made them right. He made them upright in all of their ways. Even Lucifer, as to being made, the Bible said all of his pipes was right as to saying Adam in his act of creation. That Adam was the perfect man. Everything was perfect till the devil got a hold of him and Eve. See, and so then the Lord didn't sow the tare. As a matter of fact, he gave the warning. He said, the day that thou eatest thou shalt surely die. And it was when Eve disobeyed that death came. For the Bible said death did not come by God. So then wouldn't God be a foolish one as to say, I give life and now I kill you. I give life and now I'm going to kill you. You know, I just made you to live so I could kill you. I made you to be healthy and happy so I could subject you to suffering and pain and misery. I give you all kind of riches so you could set your heart on them so I could put you in poverty and laugh at you. Now, wouldn't that kingdom stand? The Bible said a divided kingdom can't stand. So then God is good. God has nothing to do with the perverted side of life, and all them things that you're listening to is the contrary mind of the devil, and the reason that you're hearing it is because you've turned on the old phonograph of the devil. You've turned on the jukebox of the devil, and you've turned on that side of the devil, and you're in the devil's territory, and you're playing around in the devil's territory, and you're programming your mind with the devil's territory as to the lust of the flesh. You know, when I was in service, I told you a lot of times they had a place called off limits. Soldiers didn't go there. If they come back from that place, they usually come back with their head busted in, or they come back with scars or knifed or bad things that happened to them. That was off limits. See, the devil's place is off limits, and you don't want to go there. You'll come back mutilated. You'll come back in bad shape. You don't want to run with the devil's crowd. The Bible said, withdraw thyself, even from a professing religious person. Every brother that walks disorderly, the Bible said, withdraw from them. And the Bible tells us that we're to come out of the world, be a separate people, touch not the unclean things, and I'll receive you. He said, I want to do great things for you. But thine iniquities as to unbelief and practice of wrong things has separated between thee and thy God and kept thee back from the good things that I have from you. My hand is not short that I cannot reach you, neither is my ear dull that I cannot hear you. For my ear is ever attentive toward the cry of the righteous. Ask what you will in my name, he said, I'll do it. So then we find why Jesus used the terms that they are perverse and they are faithless. See, you're faithless when you are perverse. So then we find that that generation, that Cain generation, that the devil sowed, by using Eve as to the weakness of the woman to show the fleshly side of production in life, that all in Adam die. And all fleshly human beings that are born into this world as an Adam die. And death is upon the firstborn. And the firstborn must be subjected to the secondborn. For the elder shall serve the younger, as it was said concerning Esau and Jacob. So then when you're born to the flesh and of education and of wealth and all of the polished things of life, and you give yourself to that side to become something as to a celebrity or a dignitary or something in life, then are you Cain? Then are you Esau? Then have you lost the birthright? Though you had it as the first man Adam, he had it, but it was lost through the frivolousness of the weakness of the flesh to show the fall and to generate generations of today. So in Adam all died, but in the Lord Jesus, as to the resurrection, as to the second man Adam, as to the quickening spirit, in that God is a spirit. So then now we are separated from the firstborn, and we're the secondborn in that we are born again. And now the body is to the firstborn must be subjected to the inner secondborn, because now the spiritual ones have the birthright, in that the natural world with all of its dignity and all of its polished education lost it. So we see that now we are the head of the nation. Now we are the chosen ones. Now then all of the things of the world belongs to you and I. All the creation that God made belongs to you and I, who are the younger, we who have come into the second birth. So then in Adam all die. In Jesus all are made alive. And Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God, even before the world ever was. He came forth, and all things were given to us in Christ before the world ever was. And then at Calvary they were manifested or brought to light. So now we know who we are, and we know where we're going, and we can see what's happened. John came, laid the axe to the root of the tree, and cut down the tree, as to say, Calvary, whoever hangeth upon a tree is cursed. Cut it down all the way back to the garden, and that done away with the old serpent and the tree of knowledge. And then from that, Jesus came forth as to the tree of life. And in him all are made alive. All are made alive. So all that are in Christ Jesus are made alive. And of course, we can say many, many things, even things that we talked to my wife about today. That's concerning this one thing. We had plenty of time to talk today. Now, the tares, then who is the father of the tares? The Bible said, why did Cain slay Abel? It was because Cain represented one generation, Abel falling into the ground and dying as a seed to bring forth. Seth came forth and he represented another generation. That is, as to people, one is of sons of God, one's of sons of the devil. And the Bible makes it very clear that Adam was the son of God, and the generation as to the genealogies is run back through Seth and Abel, right back to Adam, which is called the Son of God. And when it is spoken as of Cain, it said, "And wherefore slew he his brother?" It was because his deeds were evil and his brother's deeds were good. And the Bible said because he was of that wicked one. And Jesus told him over there when he disputed with him there in the New Testament, he said, "Ye are of your father the devil." Said, "I am of my father God, but you're of your father the devil." That is, the devil sowed you because you are tares and you seek the things of the flesh. Though you be religious, though there's many churches of today, though you have all these religious convictions and do all these religious formalities from day to day, he said, "You're still of the devil." He told him, he said, "You're of your father the devil. You scribes and Pharisees," he said, "you're a hypocrite." So that's what you are. All right, so then we see again who we are. We are the dear children of God. So we know that God sowed us, but we know that the devil sowed the tares. So I say to you that we are not a faithless and a perverse people because we love the Lord, but we are in the midst of an adulterous generation. Lust of the eyes, the pride of life, the arrogancy of life. See, but we are children of God, and we own all things, and all things are ours. And in the little exposition this morning, I was trying to tell you who you are and what you are and what you have right to, and if you learn to use your faith. And I was trying to detail and explain to you in few words how that you use your faith. And I was trying to tell you, as one of the ultimatums of my statements was this, and that is, you are separate as body and spirit. You have been rent in twain as with the rending of the veil. And your outer man, as the first man, Adam, is now dead by the body of the Lord Jesus. And the second man, as to the new birth, is now the resurrected, as to the justification. And you are now the new man, not you living, but Christ that liveth within you. And this tabernacle shall be dissolved. For in the mind of God, through Calvary, it's already been dissolved. And you now have another tabernacle, even the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, not as from dust as to the earth, but that which is eternal in the heavens, not made with hand. And that Jesus said, "I come from heaven," that's the body of spirit. And the second man, Adam, was made a quickening spirit, and you're now bone of his bone, and you are now flesh of his flesh. So there is a celestial body, there is a terrestrial body. The terrestrial body is corruptible and of Adam, and in Adam all die, as to your flesh, as to your first man, as to the firstborn. And sin has caused him to lose the birthright. Now, in the second man, Adam, he gets the birthright, and you are now a celestial body in the eyes of God, which means a bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh as to the resurrected. He has been delivered for your offenses as to terrestrial body, and all is dead, folded up and laid away, and you're now dead to the law of sin and death. And now he is resurrected again as to your justification, because now you are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, members in particular in the new body, in the sight of God. And so then down here, this body and spirit has been separated so that your body is now dead, it's buried, and it's gone. And you don't have to listen to that old thing, as I said, like the chipmunk, something always in your ears, the accusers of the brethren always questioning your sonship, as it was with Jesus saying, "If you be the Son of God." You know, you don't have to listen to that, because that's dead, that's buried, that's gone. It doesn't matter what it says. You don't have to listen to it. You are now a spiritual being, and there is a voice from heaven, which is the voice of God, in that my sheep know my voice. And it's constantly saying, "I've given thee all things that pertain unto life. I will make thee to ride upon the high places of the earth. He that is born of God cannot sin. The seed of God remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. He keepeth himself in the evil one, toucheth him not. Say what you will, and it'll be done. Ask what you will, and I will do it. Decree it in your heart, it shall come to pass." And he says to you and I that if we say and don't doubt, whatever we say, we can have. And he said, "Ye shall be like a tree that's planted by the water. Ye shall bring forth your fruits in its season. Your leaves shall not wither. Whatsoever you do shall prosper." And the Bible said, "I'll make all of your beds in the time of your sickness. My blessing will make you rich and add no sorrow. I will make you to ride upon the high places of earth. You can have the desires of your heart if you delight yourself in me," Jesus said. Now, so we hear this voice on the other side. So we are now dead to the voice of accusation. And it's gone. The death of the body of Jesus at being made in the image of sin, that ended. It's gone forever. And now this new body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is at the right hand of the Heavenly Father, of which you and I are a membership, as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh, now it's sitting there and interceding, and anything that we want, we've got, because we are him. And he is perfect. For that which is in part is folded up and done away with, and that which is perfect is now come, and your body is now separated from your spirit, and it doesn't matter what the accusations is as to condemnation or to bring you under condemnation. That is to condemnation. If it brings you to a condemning, then it is Satan, and God hath nothing to do with it. It doesn't matter what's said there, God hath nothing to do with it. And I made this statement that if you don't listen to it, it's for sure God won't listen to it. Because God has crucified that side of it, folded it up, laid it away, took it out of his presence eternally, and it'll never come back into his presence. He'll never see your spots. He'll never see your blemishes. They were all swallowed up in Jesus. Not only your past transgression, but your future transgression were all swallowed up in the Lord Jesus. And there is no more, therefore, no more condemnation to them that are within Christ Jesus. Or that are even today in Christ Jesus. When I say we're in Christ Jesus, before the world ever was, we were in Christ Jesus, chosen in Christ, and this was given to us in Christ before the world ever was. So then I am free from the law of sin and death and the law of condemnation. I never have sin again. I'll never have death again. I'll never have condemnation again. And the Bible said, there is no one that lay anything to your charge as God's elect. For it is God that justifieth. It is Christ that died for you and has risen again to be at the right hand of the Father to plead your cause. So then you're altogether free from death, free from sin, free from condemnation. And the Bible said, at death the spirit goeth back to God who gave it. Consider yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin by the body of Jesus. Your angel went back to God who gave it, and today you are they that dwell in heaven. That's why I bring in so often 483 years to Calvary. Then comes that heavenly episode, the veil is rent in twain, and the other 7 years over here. And in between this, as to the opening of these curtains and the rending of that veil, this is heaven. And your body is now dead, but the body of the Lord Jesus as to the other side of Calvary and planted. And now you are as a spiritual being, raised as bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh in this, as between the 7 and the 483, are on this side of Calvary, and ye are they that dwell in heaven, and that your spirit went back to God who gave it. And the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit, whereby thou art sealed, that is your spirit interwoven with Christ's spirit, sealed unto the day of redemption, and that is to say the redemption of the body, are to bring in the millennium. Don't grieve him. Do the things that please him. Submit to him. It is not you living, but Christ that liveth on the inside of you. And I said this morning, as to whatever measure you will submit that outer man as to a conformity of the inner man, that is what your reward is going to be, as to 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, or the Bible says you can go on to full reward or to the full measure of the full stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. All right, so then we can tell that the outer man perishes. The inner man is renewed day by day. Paul said, though this outer man perish, that is, I'll mortify the deeds of the flesh, I'll do away with the things of the flesh. I won't make any provisions to the satisfying of the body. He said, and in that these, as to the natural things of the world, perishes, and they're taken away. He said, yet the inner man is renewed day by day as I feed him the heavenly things of God. And he grows more mighty. As John said, the outer man decreasing, the inner man increasing. So we can see that if I or you will not listen to the chattering over the old chipmunk, as we will say, as to the body, if we won't listen to all that chatter and that racket, you know, then God won't listen to it, because it is dead to God. It can't come into the presence of God. It's forever gone, because he cut off the flesh so that the accuser couldn't come into his presence anymore. See, in the Old Testament, the Bible said the comma thereunto could never be made perfect. For nothing could be made perfect by the blood of bulls and goats. And he said, every year, as to the Day of Atonement, that God is reminded again of sin. because of any person coming into the presence of God is sinful except through the Lord Jesus Christ. See, and he just gave them as a figure as to the times, as to that which was to come, as a shadow of that was the forerunner. See, until that which is perfect is come. That is to make us perfect. Now we're perfect in his sight. See, so then back under the law, Satan was always there in that old natural image, in that old carnal mind. But when Jesus died, he put away the bastard child image. Being made in that image, he died and put it away, even your bastard child image. Of that which is your first birth. He done away with that. So now the high priest that's in his presence is the new man, making himself a new man, that's free from sin. And today we are free from sin, and God never sees Lucifer again. He never has a chance to come into the presence of God again as he did in the days of Job on the other side of Calvary. He never has that chance, never again. See, because Jesus put him out once and for all and put the blood between you and that iniquity, that veil of iniquity, killing that body, purging, purifying, taking out of the infiltration, bringing you up as one new man on the other side, as in the second man, Adam, all are made alive. So then the beginning of the creation of God, the old serpent tribe is gone forever. See, the terror is gone. Though the terror is among us, when we look out here through natural eyes, it's all lying vanity. At Calvary, they're completely done away with. There's no more of them. And down at the end of the trail, when the church is translated, you'll see all of this just dissipate and vanish away. And what you're looking at is your own body as that old terror, as to the firstborn. You're looking at that old infiltration that's within your body, and you're listening to the chatter of the chipmunk, as we say. You're just listening to that old chatter, that's the accusation, that's questioning, that's always saying things contrary to God, when it's nothing but a lying vanity. It's nothing but a dream. It's nothing but a nightmare. See, you need to get out of that. Get out of the night. Wake up. Get into the day. The Bible said when they awoke, they saw his glory. It's high time to awake out of sleep. And then find out that you're children of light. For in that city, the Bible said there'll be no night. There'll be no need for the sun. And there'll be no heat upon us. And there'll be no night. For it'll always be day. For he is the day star. And it'll always be day in that beautiful city. I've entered into that wonderful place in the midst of this glorious thing. For the Bible teaches your lively stones that make up that holy priesthood. Even the city of those walls of jewels. And we that are spiritual beings dwell within those walls of jewels and within the confines of these, in that the great light keeps the darkness away and the evil one never toucheth us. For the Bible said the light is most precious, like unto a jasper stone, and all the nations of the world walk in this wonderful knowledge of God or understanding, which is light as to a dimensional approach of 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, as to whatever it might be, even as Peter in some ways was following Christ afar off. Not that there will be sin there even in the new world. Sin will be no more. But as to the 30, 60, 100 will be as to the child, as to the woman, as to the man. See, as to the developing, as to those that grow in the light, to walk in the light, to have this as of that that's given to them of this knowledge, as to the greater degree of the understanding and riches and power and glory and wonderful satisfying of the appetite. As to that, that is to say, that it won't be as to sin 30-fold, 60-fold coming out of that. It'll be that we are already free from sin, for sin ended at Calvary. But it will be as to our maturity, as to whatever we subject our bodies to grow to that measure of a child, or to grow to that measure of the feminine, or to grow to that measure of the masculine, and that the masculine has complete control. That is, he's the Lord of the house. All right, so then we see that with God there's neither male nor female. See, he'll raise you right up. It depends on what you want. It depends on what you believe. It depends on what you submit to. Your husband, he is the masculine part in this world. He is the Lord over the house. You have to submit to him. But if you bypass him in the spiritual things of God, to love God and to go on after spiritual things while he is whoring around after the things of the world in his natural mind, then you'll be the great and mighty and you'll be the masculine. And that day he'll have to do with the feminine part. As to say feminine, I mean as to 30, 60, 100-fold, because in the spirit there's neither male nor female. That's just a bodily thing for reproducing. All right, so then we see how wonderful this is in God. Now, the body is now dead. You can now have perfect faith. We wish this even the perfecting of your faith, Paul said. And we detail these things to you. For the ministry is there for the perfecting of your faith. Now, so you can know, you can hear, you can believe. Faith cometh by the hearing. That is to say, and then to hear and to believe. That is faith. So, as I explained it this morning, is the head, faith, heart, faith. We're not going to go into that. But I do say this. If we will quieten that thing down, leave it dead. Don't go visit the graveyards, as we say. Don't have nothing to do with the dead. Don't try to communicate with the dead. The body is dead. Leave it dead. Don't powder its nose and paint its eyebrows and make it look like a lizard and pump its muscles and pompadour its hair. And don't go through all these configurations of trying to be a pretty boy and a pretty girl and these kind of things. You know, just kind of blot it in the faith and say, shut up. You know, I don't like your face. I don't like your figure. I don't like your form. I don't like nothing you stand for. You're dead, dead, dead. I want you to decrease, and I want you to stop running around, you know, like women that finger their curls, you know, when they're trying to flirt. The Bible said they mince with their feet as they walk. You know, all they've got, the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. And man, he's just twice as bad. Let's give the Lord a hand. And so then he's always lusting. See, and the Bible said, know ye not that the spirit within you lusteth unto envy? See, quieten the thing down. Get the flesh dead. Stop feeding it and it'll die. It'll die. Somebody said, well, what do you think ought to do to it? You know, it likes to eat, and I think we ought to eat at mealtime. That's fine. Go on about a 10-day fast and then eat your meal. See, just kind of starve it out. And it'll get to where it's not so pretty. It don't look so nice. As a matter of fact, it'll even get a bad odor, you know, in the breath after two or three meals. Nobody will want to get near it because it'll just, you understand what I'm saying? Somebody say hallelujah. Don't go around spraying your mouth all the time and polishing your teeth and combing your hair all the time, you know, and trying to slim up and go on diets and everything else so that you can look attractive. You don't need to attract anything because all you're going to attract is devils. Every time you attract somebody, you got yourself a devil. Let's give the Lord another hand. So you've got twice as many problems as you had before. All right. The Bible said, let every man have his own wife to avoid fornication. In that you're pressed with necessity. The Bible said, render due to benevolence unto the companion, and let that be it. And if you withdraw from one another, let it be for a time to give yourself to fasting and prayer. All right, so then, faithless and perverse generation. Here's the thing, folks. Do all things as unto the Lord, even with your companionship as to relation, as to reproducing, to bring children to the world. Do that as unto the Lord, that not as unto lust. And as to benevolence one to another, that you may keep the body under control, that you won't go lusting around after somebody else. Do all things as unto the Lord, and do nothing that would be outside of the Lord or unlike the Lord Jesus. So if you will remember, once again now, if you will remember in closing, once again, you've got to remember that the body is dead because of sin. So all of those accusations, all of those questionings, all of those things that question your sonship, all of those things that accuse you, it hath nothing to do with your believing. If you won't listen at them, you won't have a breach in your faith. But if you listen at them, then you're double-minded. You're going from that mind to the mind of Christ, that mind to the mind of Christ, the mind of doubt to the mind of belief. You'll never have anything of God. You're unstable. But when you shut that out, count it dead. And as I said today, when something says, if you be the Son of God, just start singing, glory, glory, hallelujah. Or when something says, how do you know that God wants you to have that? Say, I will praise Him. I will praise Him. And don't listen to anything else. And when them things come, pay no attention to them. And just keep your heart steady in God and keep doing the things that please God and keep acting like a Christian and thinking like a Christian and talking like a Christian and let your conversation be in heaven and you'll grow stronger and mightier. Like the man sings, down on my knees, I grow stronger and taller than trees. See, so get down on your knees, begin to pray, begin to meditate, begin to study the Word, begin to talk to God. meditating in his laws day and night, casting down imagination and all them things that keep talking to you and questioning your sonship, casting down imagination and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ, because that's dead. God don't hear it. Why should you listen at it and let it tear your faith down? Why should you listen to the accusations that accuses you of things that you know that you did not do and that you're not guilty of? And if there's anything there, it was something that you stumbled into that before the living God, you had no idea it was there, nor gave place to any of that, nor made any effort toward it. For the Bible said where these things are, there's no conscience of sin. Seeing God, I don't even have a conscience of sin. God even eradicated the conscience of sin. I'm not even conscious of sin anymore. I'm holy and godly and pure before Him. I'm holy in body and spirit by His righteousness. Some of us, well, I question that. Well, that you can take that old devil and go home with it. You know, I am righteous by His righteousness. And He hath made me to be in Christ what I should be. And I am His workmanship in Christ. For the work part was in Christ Jesus. And now I am what He wanted me to be simply by believing in what He done in my behalf. And what did He do in my behalf? He was delivered from my offenses and raised again for my justification. And today I have peace with God by faith through the Lord Jesus Christ. That is believing in His works. Let's stand together. Kind of want to let you go tonight. I kept you a little long this morning. And I thank the Lord you was willing to bear with me. But I want to impress this one thing upon you. And that is you're free from the flesh. Been free from the law of sin and death. You are they that dwell in heaven. You cannot sin. Neither spot nor blemish is there with you. You keep yourself, the evil one never touches you. So in that old thing is dead, why listen to that old carnal reasoning and accusation anymore? Why not be about your Father's business? Why not rejoice forevermore? Why not enjoy your stay in heaven because it's eternal? See, why not enjoy it? Why let the devil bother you? I look around and I know that I'm in heaven. Somebody says with pain and misery and trouble and all them kind of things. Yep, that's right. Someone says, well, how can that be, Brother Pike? Well, the way it can be when you read in Revelation 12, the Bible said he did. John looked up into heaven. What did he see up there? He saw the devil. He saw the dragon. He saw Lucifer. And he said, war. And where was the war? It was in heaven. Let's give the Lord a hand. All right. So then you can be in heaven and things can be going on, you know. But you can be on the winning side. And by the help of God, as to Michael and his angels, we can cast the devil out and stop that problem. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do. So pay no attention to the pain. Somebody said, man, can you have pain and pay no attention to it? Oh, you're going to feel it. And every now and then you're going to say something about it. But pay no attention to it as to your faith. Remember, it's a lying vanity. It's come to pass and it will pass. And all those things shall pass away. And so what you do, you just keep your eyes on Jesus. You know, Peter took his eyes off of Jesus. Down he went. But as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, that rage and foam didn't mean nothing. And those things around you don't mean nothing. Just keep your eyes on Jesus. And after a while, this old body will change. And then you won't feel all that misery anymore. But you won't be a bit more in heaven than you are right now. That's right. You love the Lord? Give him a hand. All right. We're going to sing a little chorus. Dale will have to help me with these songs. Sometimes I don't remember them too well, but she does. When I'm tossed on life's sea and the waves all cover me and the dark clouds won't let the sunshine through, seems I hear a voice say, some there'll be a better day. Don't allow the clouds to hide sweet heavens. You sing that with me.
Cause you got
one more valley, one more hill.
Maybe
got one, one more tear, one more curve in life's road, one more mile to go. You can lay down a heavy load when you get home. You love the Lord? The writer said, don't let Satan see your tears. Hold your head up and give the Lord a smile. And hide all of your fears from the world that they can't see them. Because the Lord is there to help you. You love the Lord? That's what we want to do. Can we sing that, Dale? Don't let Satan see your tears. Hide a smile over your fears. Hold your head up high and give the world a smile. Just be faithful all the way. It'll be worth it all someday. For it's all gonna be over after a while. Sing with me now. We've got one more valley, one more hill, one more smile, one more tear, one more curve in life's road. Just one more mile to go. You can lay down your heavy load when you get home. Sing it again. You've got
one more
valley, one more hill,
one more hill.
You've got
one more curve
in life's road, one more mile to go when you can lay down the road when you get home. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today, the darker the valley, the more I learn to pray.
I found you
with the lilies there blooming by the way. And I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. I thank thee for every lifeline, for every time the sun didn't shine. Thank thee for every lonely night. I prayed till I knew that everything was alright. And I thank thee for the valley I walked through today. Life can't be all sunshine, all the flowers would die. The rivers would be desert, all barren and dry. Life can't be all blessings, or there'd be no need to pray. So I thank thee for the valley I walk through today. Thank thee for every hill I climb,
for every time the sun didn't shine.
Thank thee for every lonely night.
I prayed till I knew everything was alright. And I thank
thee for the valley I walk through. Where will you be?
A million
years from now. Can you sing that with me? Will you be happy?
Will you be
singing
while
ages
roll?
I ask this question, where will you be? Just one life to live on earth, and its truth would pass by from the moment of our birth until it's time to die. God has given us this choice to decide our destiny in a million years. Where will you be? Where will you be?
Sing it with me.
A million
years. And your friends sing few, there is someone who cares for you.
The altars are open if you'd like to come to the altar. Then the altars are open.
Your heart
bleeds inside, there is someone who cares for you. Someone to care. There is someone to share all your burdens like no other can do. He'll come down sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. When your disappointment comes and you feel so blue, there's someone who cares for you. When you're needing a friend to lean, there is someone who's a friend.
Sing it with me now.
Someone to care. Someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the skies, brush the from your eyes. Here is child, and he cares for you.
Say it one more time, sister.
There is someone
burden like no other can do.
He'll come
down from the skies, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, then he cares for you. One more time. Someone to care for all your burdens like no other can do. Don't that make you happy? He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. Just one more time together. Think about it now. He is
someone.
Just think now. That just makes me feel so good. I know that I'm in heaven. I know that my sins are gone. I know that I'm eternally alive forevermore. No matter what the devil says, no matter what people do, no matter what infirmities may bring, no matter how much poverty comes, I'm secure, eternal and forever. I made it. Someone said, oh no, oh yes, I made it through the blood and the redemption of the Lord Jesus Christ. He saved and redeemed me. The songwriter said, I'm redeemed by love divine. I'm redeemed. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. All to him I now reside. Why? Not going to be. I have been redeemed. Somebody say hallelujah. From the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares. I'm going to say it one more time, and I want you to sing it with me now. And I want you to believe as you sing.
There is someone.
Someone to share all your troubles like no other can do. He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're his child, and he cares for you. Come home, come home, it's supper time. The shadows all left the mean. Sing it with me now. Come home, come home. It's supper time. We're going home. When I stand upon the mountain, looking over into the city, gives me faith that I can make it after all. After all, life is over and my burdens are lifted, and I stand on the mountain, oh, so tall, looking over into the city that my Lord said he's preparing, gives me. believe that I can make it after all. Let's sing this song, Sister Dale. Across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Sing that with me. Across the bridge, there's no more pain, for the sun's gonna shine. This life we're living in, I have lived the life of sin.
I've
done forbidden things I shouldn't do. I met a stranger by the way. I asked him for a place to stay, where there's real happiness and love that's true. He said, across the bridge, there's no sorrow. Said, across the bridge, there's no and the sun's gonna shine out across the river, and I'll never be unhappy again. Sing it one more time.
Far across. There's no pain.
Sun's gonna shine across the river, and we'll never be unhappy again. And time shall be no more, no more. And time shall be no more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and the land, and time shall be no more. Sing it again now. And time, remember, Calvary, the fullness of time. And it all ended at Calvary. And the Peter said, now it's come the end of the world. And so it was, 483 years, the end of the world. For the seven moved away, and heaven came in. Doesn't come back into existence until that 484th year comes into view. 483, bring the seven back into first of the seven, 484th, 5, 6, 7, on down to the 490th year to make an end upon thy people, even the Jews, Daniel being a Jew. But for you and I, it ended over Calvary. Isn't that wonderful? And we moved into heaven. And time went away. And the Jews don't get to go into that wonderfulness until after that 7 years. And then their heaven starts as the millennium comes in. You love the Lord? Same earth it is now. I shall be no more, no more, and time shall be no more. Remember, God sent a deliverer down into Egypt. He went to get the people that were in Egypt bondage. And when the fullness of time came, there the iniquity of the Egyptians was full. And then the great leader came, and the great Holy Spirit entered in, and he's taken us over the Jordan, taken us over the Jordan of the carnal mind, of the human reasoning, the rapture, the translation. Enoch was translated by faith, but he shall not see death. Do you have faith in God? No more. For the angel, he'll stand on the sea and land. Remember when the covenant is broken. Once again now. For time, for you, it's no more. Oh, and time for you. Knowledge of God, the angel did stand on the sea and time. Remember, given to you in Christ before the world ever was, brought to Calvary, lighted Calvary with Jesus' hands lifted to heaven, and time. He said, and it is finished. No more. No more. There's a time to be born, there's a time to die. Now, the law of sin and death is gone. Time is now gone. The creature of time is now dead, buried in the name of the Lord Jesus. Your angel went back to God who gave it. In heaven, there is no time. It's eternity. Time? So, how many of you dwell in heaven? If you dwell in heaven, let's give him a wave offering on this last singing. Well, time for me. No more, no more, and time for you, no more. The angel did stand on the sea and the land, and time no more. Sing with me now. And I will praise him. I'm going to ask Brother John Humberg, if he will, to come up and dismiss us tonight. Praise him. Praise the Lamb for sinners slain. And we will give him glory, all ye people, for his blood is washed away every stain. One more time together. Oh, we